Hi guys, welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. This is Erica Smith and Nicole Carter bringing you all of the information that we are learning every single day in our journeys in personal health with our guts and also with our clients in gut health. So we've got a great episode for you today. Please listen in and share this episode with someone else you think might benefit from a little gut health love. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Trust Your Gut podcast. Nicole Carter and Erica Smith today. And we are actually coming to follow up on a topic that we touched on in our last episode, because I know it's important to so many people. I know for me, definitely right now, very relevant, but sleep. We know that sleep is so critical. It helps us, you know, with anti-aging, with weight loss, with our immune system, and just generally being happy. I know that I am an awful bear if I don't get enough sleep. So
I'm from Florida, so I'm just going to say I'm a gator when I don't get enough sleep.
Okay. Yeah. Fair. Aren't we all? Well, I know that, like, you know, a lot of people think they can do well on 4 or 5 hours. I could not get away with that. I think I need a minimum of 6. But optimally, I guess, you know, 8 hours is where I'm heading for. What are you looking at for optimal sleep?
Yeah, I like 9. maybe I should cut myself a bear. I think that 8 though is probably a safe number for me. Anything that is dipping down into the 6 and 7s, I start noticing quite a bit. And we talked a little bit, I think, on part one of the sleep series, about the fact of when we go to bed. So that deep sleep, that recuperating sleep happens prior to midnight. So for me, it's especially getting into bed before 9 o'clock that really makes a difference for me. And it doesn't have to be that I have lights off at 9 o'clock, but, you know, being in bed at 8:30 to where I'm starting to wind down, reading a book. And, you know, then by 9 o'clock, I'm like lights out. I'm ready to actually doze off. That really makes a difference in my sleep, because you're right. I think without good sleep, we're just not as good people to the world, at least in my experience.
Yeah, I noticed that if I don't get to bed by 10, I sort of have some sort of click in my brain that like makes me stay up later. And then I have a really hard time going to sleep. Like it's either, you know, 9 o'clock or it's going to be toss and turn until 1 or 2 in the morning.
Yeah. And Sean Stevenson, I don't know if you've ever read that book, Sleep Smarter. He actually talks, and there is a coined term for that. It's called getting your second wind. So when you get your second wind is that nighttime one. And it happens because you miss that circadian rhythm bump. And so you kind of get that rush of it. So it is critical to not go to there. So if you can figure out what that point is, it's super important. But it all goes back to the microbiome. And you and I talk about the gut microbiome all the time, right? Trust Your Gut podcast. And the reason why this is so important is, again, because those little organisms that are doing all of the work depend on that sunlight and that sunset. Really, everybody talks about sunrise, but sunset is also important as well. And so just because we can think and see a watch, our gut microbiome cannot. And you can talk to them all you want, but they're not really, they don't have any ears to listen to you with. So the easiest way is to expose them to these simple things that let them know what's going on. And along with that, other things that do matter to the gut microbiome, bacteria, and all those organisms that live with us is exposure to stress. Mm. And the same way that being exposed to chronic stress causes dysbiosis in your gut, good stress that is controlled can cause benefits to the health of your gut microbiome. And one of those things is using an infrared sauna. Have you ever seen one of those?
I love one. I have the little sleeping bag style.
Excellent. Yeah, I thought about getting that. I actually went out and got the one where you're supposed to sit in a chair and your head sort of pops out.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't use the chair. I just sit right in it. Uh-huh. And go Indian, into the whole thing. And I love it. I've been using it for 3 weeks now. I hadn't talked about it on my Instagram at all yet because I didn't know the benefits of it. Uh-huh. You know, online, they say they have great benefits. And so I really wanted to experience that because, as you know, I like to try everything before I sell it to clients or anybody like that. So they are fantastic. First of all, I don't have a lot of room. I couldn't even set one up, you know, one of those big ones. So it's a great thing to just have. It collapses on its own. It's easy to put away and bring up. Not a huge deal. It only takes about 5 or 7 minutes to warm up. And the greatest thing about this thing is it doesn't really use heat. It's so cool. It's using this electromagnetic wavelengths to heat your body from the inside. So it's like making your cells pretty much move fast enough to where they're creating the actual heat. So I think it's just cool technique overall. And I'm super geeky about this stuff.
But I love it. I love it. I was originally doing it because I live in coastal Southern California, like literally across the street from the beach, and it gets cold. I mean, people think Southern California and the beach is always warm. It's actually really cold. And the fog comes in this time of year. I mean, it's really cold. So I actually just got it because I needed a way to warm up. And I knew there was some health benefits to it. I learned a little bit about the detoxification of like the metals and, you know, all of the benefits of just sweating alone, let alone the infrared. So what are you noticing from being in there?
Definitely. I've done it usually in the morning. So after I do my walk, but I've done it at night a couple of times and it actually has increased my deep sleep when I do it at night.
About
30 to 40 minutes, which is pretty substantial in my opinion.
Yeah, that's a long time.
I think the reason is because it sort of works in the same way that like a hot shower would, right? So as we're going down to sleep at night, our body is cooling off. And so that dramatic sort of cool off allows you to sink deeper into that deep sleep. Mm-hmm. So if you're really looking to, you know, work on your sleep, I think it's a great thing to use closer to bedtime. But since I've been using it, and of course, I've been doing several other things this January and February and going into March, because we know I'm biohacking the sleep this year. I mean, my sleep is definitely more consistent. I don't think I've dipped underneath an hour and 20 minutes for REM or deep in probably a month now.
Wow, that's really good. And so how are you tracking that?
Yeah, so great question. I am using a Garmin watch. I've been using a Garmin watch for almost a year now. So I have the data to see what it was before all of this, which is so awesome. I love being able to see that. And a lot of people are like, I don't want to see how bad I sleep. And don't get me wrong. It can definitely get in your head. But when you're doing some things proactively and you're really putting the work into it, spending the money, you know, buying an infrared sauna, buying a supplement, I think it's worth to really know, is it actually working? Because otherwise, what are we doing? I mean, just wasting our money and time into all of this stuff. So the infrared sauna for sure has done that. And also the fact that I do live in Florida and it's easier to sweat here, but in the wintertime, it's really kind of hard because it does still get cold. And when you're a mom and you have, or it doesn't matter if you're a mom or not, when you have things to do and you only have 20 minutes of exercise time, you're not going to get a sweat if it's 40 degrees outside.
Right.
And I miss that personally.
Yeah.
So when you sit there, it is all of a sudden somebody, like 7 minutes into it, like the waterworks come out and you're like, oh my God, I am just dripping.
I love that.
I didn't even know I could drip that much. So that has been really nice. I have had to pair it with binders because, as you mentioned, you are getting extreme, you know, really high detoxification. There is metal detoxification that's happening. So I have had to increase my charcoal intake with it and the water for sure. I mean, I'm drinking the one water before I get out of bed, another thing of water before I walk out, another Yeti of water when I'm in there, and another one when I get out of the shower. So, I mean, that's like four or five before I go take the kids to school.
Wow. That is a lot.
Bonus, I'm not waking up in the middle of the night to pee because I'm getting all of my water before 1 o'clock.
Early. Yeah. That's key. Yeah.
So working on that has been definitely a good thing. And I would suffer a lot. I don't know how many people are out here listening that, you know, are peeing five times a night. I definitely used to be one
that
of those, especially after the children. But, and then stopping drinking water at four or whatever, you know, maybe got me one or two pees less. So definitely working on getting all of your water early in the morning will help your sleep for sure.
I think that there's a lot of that we can do with our just scheduling of things, you know, scheduling your exercise, scheduling your drinking, your meals, and all that, that does affect your sleep for sure. I wonder how many people are using sleep aids. You know, we talked about melatonin before, I think. Mm-hmm. That is my go-to. I also use valerian. Valerian is like the monkey mind, you know, solution. At least that's what it is for me. Just like a chill pill, really. But it does put you out. But those are a couple of my go-tos. Do you have any sleep? Oh, and I forgot the CBD, of course. The CBD with CBN in it. That one was super, super helpful.
Yeah, I'm still hopeful to try that one at some point. I do have CBD gummies that I do every once in a while. I just haven't had the need to do a lot of the stuff ever since I started syncing with the sun the infrared. That really, I have tried so many. I did the melatonin, I did the valerian, I did the GABA, I did the CBD gum. I mean, I've tried so many things, and 100% the thing that gave me the most benefits was waking up and seeing sunrise and exposing myself to sunset. And that's free. I almost was mad at myself when I did this, because I was like, I have spent so much money.
Why have I not been doing this my whole life?
I said, all I had to do was like go out and see it. And so for sure. But
do you actually see the sunrise? Or do you just go out early?
I go out at sunrise time. Sometimes I see the sunrise explicitly. Yeah. Other times I just look east. So as long as I'm looking east to where the sun is coming, and that's really all you want. And even when it's cloudy, I'm still out doing it.
So. Yeah. I don't often see the actual sunrise, but I try to get out as early as I can. And now with the time change, it's made it pretty easy, because it's dark when I wake up. Yeah.
So let's take a quick drive along that roadway of time change. That's great. I'm glad you brought it up. I just saw an article that there was a bill passed. I think it's called Safe Sunlight or something like that. And they're trying to make it be done.
I know. It makes me so happy. This is like 50 years overdue or something.
Oh, listen, do not get excited, people. Everybody that's out there, it's probably not going to happen.
Haven't they voted on this thing like every year or every 4 years or whatever it is? I know it's come up before.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying, like, don't get excited, because this is probably not going to happen. But listen, there is like actual evidence of the health disbenefits that we're getting from this. The benefits to all societies. I keep saying, like, if we didn't switch it, we'd probably save so much money health-wise that we'd come up with the Medicare problem solution right there. Probably save enough money to solve that.
I wonder what would happen if we took away illnesses that just by giving people more sunlight. I wonder how that would impact the pharmaceutical companies.
I
interesting.
That is a definitely highway to a very long conversation. So we'll stay on the sidewalk on this one.
Yeah, but we'll just get your thoughts going there.
Yeah, seriously, the thing is that we don't think about it. Even if it just goes superficial, and I really hope that they consider it and that it happens, because it takes us time to re-sync back up, and it's hard. You know, you establish a routine and all of a sudden it gets all messed up. We were just talking about before we got on air, you know, I just felt like I was in a rhythm, and my lovely in-laws are here and I'm so happy they're here, but my whole routine, you know, uprooted. And so now I have all, and the time change was now. So I feel so out of sorts.
Yeah. We are creatures of habit.
Yeah. The accidents increase for like a month. The heart attacks increase for like a month. The hospital ER visits increase when we have time change. I mean, this is like, it's data. It's out there. So I hope that at some point we can look at it a little bit more. And again, all the changes that we talk about are simple, but they are not easy. So
right.
You are having trouble with sleep, go out, see the sun, see the sunset, the sunrise and the sunset, and see what happens for sure.
There are a few good books out there, and I just read one on the power of sunlight, but there's an author, Dr. Ott, I want to say, O-T-T. I had this book for years, and then when I moved, I like lost track of it. But anyway, there's a few good books out there on the sun and the sun, how sunshine affects our health, and basically every animal on the planet, even plants in a lot of cases, gravitate to the sunlight and instinctively just for their health. They did some videos of animals and where this patch of sunlight moved throughout the day and the animals moved throughout the day as well to be in the sun. And I feel like I am one of those, because the sun comes around in the back of the yard and I go moving into that sunny spot, and then, you know, it moves again. And then I go up, sit in that sunny spot. So I feel like we are so just naturally inclined to put ourselves in the sun and in light. You know, I don't know a single person that doesn't feel better when the fog breaks and the sun comes out. It's like you come to life. Right.
100%.
A few days without it, and you start to get kind of groggy and foggy and a little depressed. And then the sun breaks and it's like, you know, here we are. The skies have opened and you feel like instantly better. So there's something to that for sure. And as you pointed out, scientifically with our health, I'm sure that there's a lot more. It's just not, it's not talked about in mainstream medicine. If anything, they talk about covering your skin and staying out of the sun. Which is
it's very, very interesting that you mentioned that, because, you know, it is sunblock from, you know, the tip of your hair to you know, your nail and your toes, all those toenails, they should be completely
covered up. Yeah.
But you go to the dermatologist nowadays and you have acne, and what do they put on your face? They put these masks. They put these light masks, therapy. Even the infrared sauna that I am getting into, I can do the same thing by sitting outside under the sun, because we get infrared once the sun is 30 degrees up in the air.
Yeah.
So I can do that. I just don't have the time, right? So these are like biohacking tools that I can't sit under the sun for that long. Plus, I'm also eliminating all of the other wavelengths when I'm in there. But these wavelengths are healing. They are necessary for our system, and they can also be healing. They are used for eczema, for psoriasis, for acne.
So we're going to come back again. We keep going into these wormholes here because there's so much great information. So we got to come back and really focus on sun and light, and sunlight really for health, but in general light, because I have a couple good books that I'd like to reference that I want to pull out some information, and I bet you do too. So let's remember to come back and do a recording on that. But back to sleep. So if our point is that if we can get enough light during the day, then it does reset our circadian rhythms so that we make the melatonin for at night. I also know that, you know, we've always talked about melatonin being made in the pineal gland or pineal, however you want to say it, but the gut makes 400 times more in you know, your intestines. So isn't that crazy that people that have gut problems also have sleep problems, or maybe vice versa?
Exactly. And that's why this, you cannot separate these things, right? So if you're high stressed, you mess up your gut microbiome. Now you can't produce enough stuff to get you the proper sleep, and then you don't get the proper sleep. And then people do with one thing at a time. But one really, really good thing that you can do in order to get your gut microbiome to work properly is sleep. I mean, it is one of the pyramids that we stand on. And the reason is because sleep is where your body gets to do the cleanup and the building. And it would be like not doing your dishes for 3 years.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't be able to get inside your house. And there would be rats and cockroaches and all of this stuff, right?
So yeah,
if you think about it the same way, otherwise you're not doing that cleanup if you're not sleeping well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not just with like just your body, but even your thoughts, right? So REM is the stage where we put things together. Right? A lot of people will say that when they read a really good, intense book, you know, these people that are super smart and learning all the stuff, they'll take a 10 or 15 minute nap.
Oh, yeah.
Because it helps them process the information, actually cement it in their brain.
Wow. Yeah. So I love that.
On your weekend, when you're getting all that information in, Nicole, take a quick little nap.
Yeah, the study breaks for sure. The study breaks. I like that. Yeah. That's a great excuse to take a nap.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. This is good stuff. Well, if we were to sum this up for people and really kind of like, what if we can nail it down to maybe five really important things, if you had to pick five things mm-hmm. to do to improve your sleep, and we're talking about sleep duration and sleep quality, mm-hmm. what five things would you do?
First and foremost would be seeing sunrise. I cannot stress that enough. It seems so simple, and most people don't want to wake up, and the whole thing is just tough, but seeing sunrise for sure. The second one would be doing no caffeine past one. Mm-hmm. That would probably be pretty important in my eyes. And then no electronics for at least an hour before bedtime would be my third. Dimming the lights mm-hmm. or using blue blockers for sure. And then food. So yeah. Making sure that you're eating the right things, because you don't want to eat an hour before bedtime. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to pick a fifth one that's related to food, I would say to keep your food a minimum of 2 to 3 hours before your bed. Those yeah. would be my top five. And I think you would see immense changes if you did those five things.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think when you mentioned the diet, a lot of people are doing keto and low carb. And I would say that if you are going to do that, whatever carbs you're allowing yourself, I would put them in the as your last mm-hmm. meal, so that it helps to lower your cortisol levels so that you can actually, so it helps you to go to sleep. So I've seen a lot of people that struggle when they're doing too low of carbohydrates, their sleep starts to suffer. I know I experienced that in the carnivore diet. And so I think it's super common. But some people that, if you're willing to eat some carbohydrates, and I'm just saying, anything, any vegetable or whatever, those are your carbs too. But if you're going to restrict them, I would restrict them early in the day and then have them in the evening. So that should help you sleep.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I think it's hard when you start these diets and stuff like that, you're like, I can't do this and I can't do that. And once you regulate your metabolic balance, that what you're saying is extremely important, because if you don't have any carbs, then you're going to crash in the middle yes. of the night. Mm-hmm. And when you crash, your body is going to increase the cortisol and wake you up. Yep. So that is why people were saying you want to have the carbs later on, along with a protein and yes. fat, because you want that to prolong. But if you don't, your cortisol is going to spike in the middle of the night. It's going to wake you up and you're going to end up unable to sleep the rest of the evening so well.
Yeah.
There goes the quality of your sleep. So yeah. I love your suggestion.
Interesting. I learned that by wearing a CGM, matter of fact, because it was happening to me and I saw it, my blood sugar would drop to 60, yeah. and then it would rock it up because my body goes, Anna, we need to make some glucose. And yes. then of course, my sleep, I would wake up shaky. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, yeah, interesting. We could talk about more there, but I think this has been really good. Good overview and stimulating a lot of thoughts. You guys can leave our comments for us. In fact, if you're on the podcast, you can go to the main page and actually leave us an audio message. It's pretty cool.
So excited to see those someday.
Yeah, I know, me too. And of course, reach out to us via Instagram, and both of us are active there. So we'd love to hear your feedback and what else you want to learn about. But we have more good stuff coming. So we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode of Trust Your Gut.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Bye.